Beautiful day that God has given us. So welcome. Christmas Day. Next year, Christmas is on a Sunday. I look ahead at those things. But it's a beautiful day, and what a great night we had last night with the program and candlelight service. Wow, that was incredible. Just a couple of announcements you see in the bulletin. If you've looked, our offering today goes to our care center here in Menno. There's always great needs there, and we do have the offering box in back today, so that's where that will be this time. Also, if you're looking for a job of a nurse or CNA or dietary, then there's openings at the care center, always openings there. There are some Christmas sacks left from last night. If maybe there's some here, kids or college students that did not get one last night. Maybe you have a grandchild or someone that's coming today that you want to take one for, then that's fine. I did notice somehow the ones that have no peanuts in, those sacks are right tight together with the ones that do have peanuts in. So if you have a peanut allergy, I don't know how that'll work. But anyway, those will be available after church for whoever might want one. Tomorrow we do have church at 10:30, there is not Sunday school tomorrow, but on January 2nd, we do have Sunday school classes. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day we call Christmas. And we celebrate you, Jesus. As we gathered in last night and your presence was so amazing here, we thank you and ask you for that this morning as well. Jesus, you are our Lord and Savior. Thank you for coming to this earth, taking on flesh, giving up all the glory of heaven, being born into a physical body. As you lived on this earth, fully God and fully man, hard for our minds to comprehend, but it was so. And you being born of the Virgin Mary, born without sin, so that you, Jesus, who knew no sin, could become sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And so we're here to worship and glorify your name as families gathered in and individuals and friends to worship you on this Christmas day. Let us do so with all of our hearts, in spirit and in truth, as we proclaim your glory and your greatness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lee Heckenleibel's going to do our Advent reading this morning with a little help from Ben.
Merry Christmas. Today the Advent season has ended. We wait no longer. The great event for which we waited has happened. God's promise of a Redeemer is fulfilled. Jesus Christ is born. Our scripture reading today will be from Psalms chapter 96, verses 1 through 4. Sing to the Lord as a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. We light the Christ candle with praise to our God, who brings joy to the world. In the birth of Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father has shown his majesty and splendor and has put a new song in our hearts and lives, a song of praise to our God. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we celebrate your lowly coming as the baby in Bethlehem. Even as we wait for your glorious appearing on the clouds of heaven, we give thanks to you for your redeeming work, which assures us of victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to live today and always as your sons and daughters. In your Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lee and Ben. We're going to sing Joy to the World. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4, and then there's a transition into that next song, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You. So the words on that second hymn are geared to Christmas. So it's a little different. The melody's the same as you know, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. but the words are a little different. So 270, let's stand, please. Beautiful words to that, changed up for this day. Well, take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you are seated. Travis, bless you, Kevin. Hey, Granger. Okay, and thanks, Joanne, for the beautiful prelude music, too. That was great. Amen. Joys and concerns. I just have a couple things, actually. Prayers for Doug and Linda Hondel, Linda Hondel's mother, Marilyn Rippert. She lives just over in Minnesota, but is in hospice care with cancer. Also, I know of one Christmas birthday, maybe there's more, but that's Diane Herbold's mom. Usually she's here today, but she's not, Amanda Stewart. So today is her birthday. Yes, she was here last night. Anything else that we have? David.
Just thank you for family being here at Christmas time.
Amen. Yes, thanks for family being here at Christmas time. From different places, Montana, Iowa. Probably missing some, but amen. Anybody else? From where? Denver? Oh, okay. Over here, anything? Okay. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we rejoice in this beautiful day that you've given us and family as they all gather in today, in the days to come through this next week, people flying here and there across the nation. We ask for your traveling mercies upon all. And those, the pilots and the stewards and stewardesses and the airport workers and all that it takes to make this all happen, we ask for your mercies and your protection, Father. We think always of our troops, especially those who aren't able to be with family today and through this Christmas season. Be with them, Lord. We thank you for those that have come home. Several of them, Travis and Corbin Auk, I saw, and maybe different ones. And what a joy that brings to the families getting to have those their loved ones home who are usually abroad in the military. We pray for your protection upon all of them. Lord, for those that are struggling with health issues, and there are many in the hospital, some in hospice care, we pray for Linda Hondel's mother, Marilyn, their family, difficult time going through that. But we thank you for being with them, watching over them. We thank you for Adrian here as she's healing up from her surgery this last Monday, and we pray for your continued power to be at work there. We thank you for newborn babies that we've had just within the last week or two, or the last couple months, and the joy they bring to the families of having their first Christmas with their little one. Lord, for all these things, we praise you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 says, "But after he had considered this," meaning Joseph, "an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" We have a Christmas doxology. It is in the bulletin. I'm not sure if it made it on the screen or not. Thank you, Caleb. Okay, I was sort of late in getting it to him. Let's stand and we'll sing this. Praise him who in the manger lay on that first joyful Christmas day. Praise him for all his wondrous love, who came to us from heaven above. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do praise you. We thank you for this opportunity to give right here to our Menno Olivet Care Center, for the needs that they have, the needs that are always many and great in ways, staffing, financing, whatever it might be. But Father, we thank you for this care center in our community as it was established 50 years ago to be a place of refuge for those who need it at this time in their lives. And we are grateful to have it. We are grateful for all that work there and serve and volunteer in so many ways. For all the residents who are there on this Christmas day, thank you that you watch over that place. We ask for your presence to fill every room within that facility. Give the workers strength. Give them compassion as they put in so many times extra hours. We thank you for health and healing and safety there. And let these gifts be blessed for the needs as they see fit. We thank you for this opportunity to give in this way, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Anne will come and we'll have the children's time here this morning.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see everyone here today. Well, did you get something you wanted for Christmas? Okay, everybody can tell me one thing, okay? How many things? One. Tell me one thing. Horse barn.
Phone.
A phone? Go ahead.
Monster trucks.
A Barbie thing in a boat. Yeah, Lincoln. You're thinking. Anybody? Okay.
Football.
Sutter. Oops, sorry. Oh, pajamas, cool. Chesney, did you have your hand up? Did a what? You got cool pajamas. You got pajamas too? Oh, nice. Anybody else want to share? Okay, Lincoln.
Dinosaur puppet.
A Fitbit. Okay, those are all cool things. Well, I have a question for you. I wonder what God wants for Christmas. What do you think God wants? It's something you can't find in a store, I think. You think God needs a chicken? Who made the chickens? God did, didn't he? He owns them all, right. Okay, what do you think God would want for Christmas? It's not something you can buy in a store. What do you think, Jesse?
A cow?
A cow? Okay, we're going to do the animals. Love. What kind of love? Happiness from us, right? To love him. Sutter, what? What does God want?
Spider-Man?
Smiley face. Yes, he wants us to be smiling. He wants the kids to love him and people to love him. Laura, one more. A Bible. Speaking of a Bible, I have one right here. What do you think? God would want there to be no dust on the Bible. Watch. If there's dust on this Bible, what does that mean? I haven't been reading it. I think that would be one of the things God would want, that our Bibles at home, there is no dust on them because we're reading them. Or the books that you get that talk about God. That would be a good thing I think God would want. How about peace in our hearts? He would want peace. He came, Jesus came to give us peace. Not just in the world, not just because, you know, all things that are happening outside, but inside our hearts. How do we get peace? By asking him to be our Savior and to come into our lives, right? What do you give someone who gave his only son for us? What can we give God? We can give him our obedience and our love. You know what I heard somebody say once? You know, we always say children, the verse for you is always, children, obey your parents in the Lord, right? Do you remember hearing that a few times? Like probably hundreds, right? Do you know what somebody, some wise person said this once? If us as boys and girls cannot obey our own parents, who we see our mom, our dad, our elders, our grandparents, our teachers, if we can't obey them, if we can't do what they tell us to do, how could we obey God, who we don't see? Now, I'm not saying that that's just all true. That's just what somebody said once. But I think it's really neat. God wants us to learn to obey our parents and those around us that are he's put over us, right? He wants us to do that with a happy heart. That would be so cool. What about if God would want us to believe in him as much as he believes in us? You know what it says in John 3:16? Can you say that with me? For God so loved and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. God loves us so much he gave us Jesus because he believes in us. He believes that we're going to love him. Do we believe him? That he will help us even when we have hard times? When we're sad, do we believe he's going to help us? How about when we're really mad? Something happened to us and we're really mad. Do we believe God can help us through it? That's what I think he wants for Christmas. All of these things, like you said, to love each other, to love our brothers and sisters, to read our Bibles, to pray, to come to church. How about if every seat in every church was full? Would the God like that, you think? I think he would too. All of our churches, wherever we go, wherever we belong to, for them to be full. Just like all the football games that we go to, the seats are full. Or the concerts we go to that we love music, and I love music, and I like concerts, they're full. Wouldn't that be a gift to God for our churches to be full? Those are just some things, right? And you guys, it's awesome to see you. I know you love God, and he loves you too. All right, you have a good day today, and Nathan has a color sheet for you after we pray, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for these boys and girls that are here and those that aren't able to be here. Just love them and bless them today with the fun they will have and are having. Thank you that wherever they go, wherever they live, whatever church they go to, that they would just shine your light to others that have been inside of them by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I forgot to look at Caleb. No. Okay, so this song, I just want to share. Shirley Mettler shared this with me, and you can Google it online. It's called I Wonder What God Wants for Christmas. And you can look on YouTube for free, and you can watch the song.
I know. Oh, I thought you were going to read that. We'll sing number 284, The Birthday of a King, 284. In a little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day. And the sky was bright with a holy light o'er the place where Jesus lay. Hallelujah, oh how the angels sang, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, yes, we celebrate the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus today. For Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we do wait so anxiously for your second coming. When that trumpet sounds and in the clouds you come and you take us home to be with yourself. What a glorious day that will be. But Father, we look into your word this morning. At hearts that were prepared for your coming the first time. Hearts that were not prepared for your coming. Lord, we want to be ready always, every day, for your coming and living for you each and every day. Father, I ask that you'd speak through me by your Spirit this morning to all gathered in this place, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, just verses 1 through 7. I'm going to refer to a lot of different verses than that as we look through Christmas Day and how it all happened. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, as I read these first words, I just had to admire last night. Little Elodie Gramco had this first verse, and she had that Caesar Augustus spot on for a little girl as she is. So chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen. So this whole Advent season, for those who've been with us all along, you know, maybe others don't, but all four Sundays of Advent, we've been looking at the second coming of Christ through the Scriptures. We've seen how Jesus talked about it so much. The first two Sundays, we looked at verses in that. The last two Sundays, we looked at 2 Peter, how God inspired him to write and speak about the second coming of Christ. And last Sunday, the question that Peter asked in 2 Peter 3:11, he says, since everything is going to be destroyed in this way, meaning the earth and all by fire, he asks, what kind of people ought you to be? That was his question. And we spoke about that, how knowing that Jesus is coming should affect our everyday lives and how we live. I talked about as we go through Turkey Ridge, and then through Davis, and you a lot of times know there could be a Turner County Sheriff or an HP sitting there, and it affects your speed going into those places. I told that last Sunday, and would you know, Wednesday night as we were filling the sacks for the Christmas program, one of our Christian education members came a little bit late and said to me, you know, Pastor Mike, we were late coming out of Sioux Falls, and we did not slow down to 45 through Turkey Ridge, did we? But we made it, and there was no one sitting there. Praise the Lord, there wasn't. But we never know, do we? You never know when that guy is going to be sitting there. And so we never know when Jesus is coming back either. We do not know. So that was the question, what kind of people ought you to be, that Peter asked. Today, as we look through this, and I just want us to look at some points here, is my heart ready for the King? Is my heart ready? Am I prepared? And what would that look like? So we're going to look through some of the different main people in the account of the birth of Christ and see how their hearts were. So number one, a heart that's ready for the King, Jesus, is one that is quick to respond to the Lord. So you have your outline there if you're wanting to fill it in. One that is quick to respond to the Lord. Right under that, there's a line in each of these. So shepherds, that's who we're going to look. And I'm just going to try to touch on each of these people briefly. But the shepherds, how about it? They were considered, as you all know, you hear it often, the very lowest of the low in Israel. They were dirty, they were considered unclean, they weren't allowed in the temple area, and so they were sort of outcasts. But yet here on that night, when Jesus was born, who gets told about it first? They do. The angel, an angel of the Lord, appears to them, says they were terrified. He gives them the message, today in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, Christ. And so they just went. We read in Luke 2, it says, when the angels had left them, they said to each other, let's go. No question about it. No question of, oh, you think so? Really? Ah, why do we want to go down there? Nobody likes us there anyway. No, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. So they hurried off and went. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen, there's this newer movie series that has come out recently in the last year or so called The Chosen. And it's really quite amazing. Certainly there's a lot of thought of, we'll say what, Hollywood added in, as there is in any movie. But there's one, it's called The Shepherd. I don't want to give it all away, but there's sort of a neat part in there when some of these shepherds are actually in Bethlehem. They're bringing the lamb to see if it's fit for the sacrifice. And the one guy, the one shepherd who he's got a bum leg and just hobbles in there from the fields and brings this little lamb, and the priest rejects it. And there is Mary and Joseph. They've just come into Bethlehem. They're trying to find a place. She's very much ready to give birth. And they encounter these shepherds. And the one who's got the bum leg, it's just, you know, the scripture tells us this is how this went. No. But I love how they portray it. It sort of brought tears to my eyes. Here's this guy who has nothing. And he takes his water jugs thing, whatever, and offers it to Mary as she's on the donkey. And she takes it because they've had that rough journey. And it's so neat. And then the shepherds leave, go back to their camp. Of course, it's that very night, the appearance of the angels. Pretty neat how they portray that. And who's the first ones there to the manger? These shepherds. And Mary recognizes him who had just given her that drink of water earlier in the day. So their hearts, they were quick to respond to the Lord. And so we need to be always in our lives, always desiring to be here. You're here on Christmas Day. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir, as the saying goes. But secondly, a heart surrendered to the Lord. A heart surrendered to the Lord. And this would be Mary herself. When Gabriel came to her, and that's in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, and said, Mary, highly favored, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, you're going to have a child, you're going to be with a son. Before that, there's words. She says, how can this be? I'm a virgin. She didn't understand it. How could she understand it, that she would be that one that 650 years earlier the prophet Isaiah spoke about, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to call, and his name will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. How could she have known that would have been her? But you know what? After the angel explained more to her, what our words, which I love, was this, let it be done unto me according to your word. By faith, let it be done according to your word. If you say so, all right, I'm your vessel if that's what you want. And as we go through our lives, there's so many things that we do not understand. Ways in which God is leading you, maybe to new adventures. It could be so many things, in giving, the options are endless, that we feel this nudging within our heart, this prompting of the Holy Spirit, but yet we don't understand it. If you know it's the Spirit of God and you really feel that, then that should be your answer. Lord, I don't quite get this, or how this could ever work, but let it be according to your word, according to your leading. And that was Mary. Third, a heart that's obedient to God's word. So one, first, quick to respond. Second, surrendered to the Lord. Third, obedient, Joseph. How about Joseph? Mary comes to him. Guess what? Gonna have a baby, Joseph. Well, he knew it wasn't his. So what would be the obvious response? You have been unfaithful. And that was his plan, to divorce her quietly, as the scripture says in Matthew. But you know what? God's plan was not going to be changed or interrupted. His plan of the ages, even before the foundation of the world, God had this plan and knew it, and he had everything orchestrated. You think of all the angelic activity that was happening. Gabriel coming to Mary, and this an angel here appears to Joseph in a dream on this account. Going back to Zechariah and Elizabeth when John the Baptist was born, an angel was involved there. I mean, there was a whole bunch of stuff going on in heaven. And God was not going to allow Joseph to do what in his mind he thought he should do. So the angel appears to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And the verses go on, which says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. He was obedient. Even though he didn't get the whole picture either. Even when Jesus is 12 years old and he's in the temple and they thought he's in the caravan on the way back home and they search for him for 3 days, remember that? What are you doing, Jesus? What are you doing? Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? They're like trying to figure all this out. But it was all God's plan. Letter D, the fourth one. A heart that loves to worship the Lord. A heart that loves to worship him. This is going to be the magi or the wise men. We think about that. Very likely could have been a year's journey for them to get to Bethlehem. From where they were in the east, the area of Persia, Babylon, Iran, Iraq. I love that part. These guys in there, where they came from, they were the ones who anointed and ordained the kings in their culture back in Babylon. They were very wealthy men. They were wise men. They studied the stars and the heavens and all the constellations. And how did they find out about this Messiah that was supposed to be born in Israel at some time? All the way back to when Daniel and his friends were hauled off into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar some 700 years earlier. There they are in Babylon. And they were faithful to God, and they told the message of the Messiah being born, even in captivity there. God used them. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he brought the most important king makers, so to speak, of that day all the way to Bethlehem to anoint him as king and present their gifts. I mean, every part of the birth of Christ is so incredible. So here they come on that journey for one worship service. Then Matthew 2, they arrive in Bethlehem. Where? They arrive in Jerusalem. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to what? To worship him. Of course, Herod finds out. Oh, he's so jealous and worried, and he sends to him and inquires where this is supposed to happen. And the prophecy is in Bethlehem. So going on in Matthew 2, it says, on coming to the house, I don't know if I said this here, maybe I did last Sunday. On coming to the house, that's how we know it. It was probably between a year or two that Jesus was of age by the time they arrived. He was now in the house. Also, second reason, because Herod, when he finds out he's been tricked, He wants all the baby boys in Bethlehem and that vicinity, 2 years old and under, killed. So both of those things. Okay, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. They came. When we were with the Navajos, every year in February, we'd drive 1,000 miles back to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to the Winter Bible Seminar, which was an incredible week of worship services. Morning, afternoon, and evening, was it? 3 times, I think, a day. And we took always would try to take some of the Navajo people with us. And we had easy in a van, and away we went. One day we were there to Tulsa. These guys on camels, probably a year's journey. All right, next one, letter E. A heart that is willing to wait in his presence. To wait in his presence. This could be one that I think in our culture people would struggle with the most because of all the busyness of our world, the instantaneous of how fast we want things right now and the information we need right now and can have right now for the most part. Who's this? Simeon and Anna. We'd go back to Luke chapter 2. This is when Jesus is now being presented in the temple according to the custom of the law. They go in there with him, and who do they encounter first? This guy, Simeon, an older man, and it says there he was waiting, there's your word, for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel means the coming Messiah. That's what that phrase means. He had been waiting, and God had shown him somehow by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he got to see the Messiah. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? We had the couple we worked with up at Timberlake those years, Diana, her mother, who lived down in Nebraska, just loved the Lord with all her heart. And she had felt that God told her she would not die before the second coming of the Lord. Now, I think, as far as I know, I think she's passed on. Nathan comes on Facebook, that's why I'm looking at him. Oh, you don't? Okay. So I don't know that she's living, but she felt very strongly that way. Well, God showed that to Simeon, that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. So he's in the temple waiting. And here they come, and the Holy Spirit shows him he's the one. And he goes up to him, takes Jesus in his arms. Could you imagine that? How awesome it is. We just take our regular precious babies in our arms for the first time, but this is the Messiah. And he lifts him up to the Lord and he prophesies over him. Luke 2, you can read it. And part of his word, Simeon, is, "Lord, now please dismiss your servant in peace." Means, take me home. That's Simeon. Then we go to Anna, the prophetess. She's there too. And what does the word say about her? She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying, and coming up to them at that very moment, Mary and Joseph. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. We wait. Anne talked about, she didn't see my notes and I didn't know what she was doing, but she talked about the football games and all that, and I had that thought down in mind too. You know, and nothing wrong with professional football and all those sports, but people can be out there this time of year in freezing weather, blizzards raging, going in however many hours earlier to that stadium and sitting there for 3 hours and think nothing of it. And I'm not knocking the games. I like sports too. And yet we come for a worship service and if it's more than an hour-ish, whatever. Come on, Pastor Mike. Come on. You know, my twin brother and I, we are so different on our time. I'm the early bird. He was always, if you're 5 minutes late, you're good. about drove me crazy in high school. When it came time for college, I said, wherever you're going to college, I am not. Because I've had it. I made sure I had a wife who was prompt. Yeah, God bless her. She is. So, you know, we went to the Husker game the day after Thanksgiving, and we met our younger brother, Scott, for lunch quick, and we're sitting there and just barely finished up, and Mark's like, come on, time to go. Let's go, let's go, let's go. We get to the car. I said, Mark, this is probably the only event in our lives where you are pushing me and I'm not pushing you to get in that stadium for that Husker football game. Let's go, he said. He didn't even answer me. But he knew it was true. We wait for his presence in prayer, in worship. Okay, the next point, though, there are hearts, unfortunately, that can be unprepared for the king. So why? Lots of different reasons. Sometimes, even among the church, let's say, you know, life is difficult. We all know that. Relationships can be difficult. And sometimes prayers don't get answered as we think they should. All of these things can sometimes affect the attitude of our heart in life. If we're not careful, they can cause us to get bitter. They can cause us, our hearts, to get hardened. We don't ever want to get to that place. We can become jealous. We can become callous or indifferent or uncaring. We do not want to be that way. Letter A under this second one, filled with jealousy and rage. That would be a heart unprepared for the king. Well, who's that? Herod. King Herod himself. He had, naturally speaking, everything he could desire. The wealth of the Roman Empire was at his disposal, all that he ever wanted. But he was horribly jealous. And when the wise men showed up there that day, where is this one? Well, he says, oh, you know what? When they found out the prophecy in Bethlehem, go and make, he says to the wise men, go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I can go and worship him. Lie. That was a total lie. He was going to put him to death had he found him. And history says that when Herod died, it was a terrible death. Constant convulsions. His organs filled with maggots. I don't mean to be crude. That's what it says. Nothing to relieve his pain and torment. He died a terrible death. Well, he had all those baby boys put to death in Bethlehem. Second one under this, a heart filled with pride and or indifference. Who would that be? The chief priests, the teachers of the law. They knew the prophecy of Micah chapter 5, some 400 years plus earlier. They knew it. Instantly, they quoted it right there. But we have no indication that they even cared to go down to Bethlehem to check it out. Very likely because they thought, surely when Messiah is born, God is going to tell us first. I mean, we are the uppity-up of all. We are the religious leaders of Israel, and we ought to know first. And they didn't care. They didn't check it out. And they were against Jesus every step of the way, except for Nicodemus, who came to faith in Christ. So we want to be like the first five, don't we? Our hearts prepared and ready for the King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that is our request. That is why we're here this morning, taking the extra effort, and not to say that those who aren't here aren't ready for you. But Lord, we're here. We want to worship you this day we call Christmas, to celebrate your birthday and everything about you and all that you lived for and all that you do in heaven right now. But Lord, if there was any of these areas where maybe we felt a little ouch, where we were convicted, then we ask you to work in our hearts. Father, that you would be number one, first priority in our worship and in our love. Thank you for all that are gathered in here today. Bless their day and the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the closing hymn, maybe you might think, well, this isn't totally a Christmas hymn, but I just thought it fit the message so well. Have you any room for Jesus? Because there was no room at the end. 478. Let's stand as we sing this. 478. Receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Have a Merry Christmas. Tomorrow, church, 10:30, no Sunday school. Thanks, Joanne, for the music.